Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The first story, Mesa flips switch on Neon Garden, where vintage signs reflect a vibrant past. Cheers rang out as five historic neon signs that once shone along Mesa's main street were redisplayed at the city's newest public space, called the Neon Garden. The area that was once the loading dock of the city's historic post office, along McDonald and Pepper Place, was restored and opened on May 15. Decades ago, Mesa's main street was illuminated with dozens of bright, colorful neon signs advertising motels, restaurants, and businesses. As time went on, the street's popularity died and the signs started to come down. The five signs that date from the 1940s to the 1970s installed at the Neon Garden include Bill Johnson's Big Apple, Dairy Queen, Frontier Motel, Smiley Ford, and Watson's Flowers. Over the past 15 years, Vic Linoff, the president of Mesa's Preservation Foundation, spearheaded the effort to save these pieces of the city's history from the landfill. His first step into neon was helping restore the animated Diving Lady sign at the Starlight Motel after a storm knocked it off its pole in 2010. Throughout the years, Linoff, along with city staff, began collecting neon signs destined for the trash bin. At times, they ran out to demolition sites just as the signs were about to come down. Restoration of the post office was underway, and the city knew it would need a concept for the former loading dock area, so Linoff pitched the idea of a neon garden to city officials. The city used voter-approved general bond funding to restore the area, costing over $4 million. At the Neon Garden's opening event, Linoff was joyful and excited to see his and the foundation's work come together. This is something that is going to spur heritage tourism in Mesa, and it's going to be one of the most unique attractions in the whole valley, Linoff told the Arizona Republic. The art of neon is dying and being replaced by cheaper LED lighting options, Linoff said. Another 15 historic neon signs remain locked away in a vacant lot. Linoff hopes the Neon Garden is a jumping-off point to continue restoring the rest of them, but the city has not identified a funding source for that. A few hundred residents came to downtown Mesa to celebrate, including the grandsons of the former owners of the signs. Rick Johnson never met his grandfather, Bill Johnson, but he said he could feel his presence at the May 15 grand opening. The restaurant opened its second Arizona location in Mesa in 1977 along Main Street and Stapley Drive. It was known for its barbecue sauce, sawdust-filled floors, and the crispy, flaky, round apple pies topped with a scoop of vanilla ice cream. The restaurant closed in 2014, and the family donated the Western Bull-themed neon sign 4 years later to the Mesa Preservation Foundation. Seeing the sign back up and restored, Rick said it was a great tribute to his grandparents. The great-grandson of the Watson's Flowers founders and now president of the business, Nathan Johnson, spoke at the grand opening. In 1927, the Watson family began selling flowers from a home garden. As the business grew, the family purchased an 18-acre farm on a county island along the Mesa-Tempe border. Sometime in the mid-1950s, the exact date is in contention, a 30-foot green and red with pink flowers sign was installed. That sign illuminated the western entrance of Mesa's Main Street. In 2014, a windstorm toppled the sign, and it landed upright against the Watson's Flowers building. For 5 years, it lay flat in the parking lot of the store until Nathan donated it to the foundation. Now the sign is back up and restored. What a wonderful thing, Nathan said. We have something that is original to that old store that we get to keep, he said. The three other signs were chosen to be displayed at the Neon Garden. Before the US 60 diverted traffic away from Mesa's Main Street, motels were a fixture for cross-country drivers. The Frontier Motel opened in the 1950s near Stapley Drive and was one of more than 50 motels along Main Street during that era. A blue Smiley Ford neon sign dates back to the 1960s. The sign has direct ties to the city's first Ford franchise. It stood along Country Club Road along Main Street. The Dairy Queen sign was one of the most recent signs to be brought down. It was originally opened in 1949 near Mesa Drive and closed in 2018 for a redevelopment project. The ice cream shop was a fixture for families. It was one of Councilmember Jen Duff's traditions as a child, she said. On the walk back from Pioneer Park, she remembers buying a 5-cent ice cream cone. It was common to see lines wrap the building with visitors grabbing a cone or a blizzard before and after walking the grounds of the Mesa Temple Christian Christmas lights in the winter. A replica of the animated diving lady was commissioned by the city. It's a symbol that has become synonymous with the city and acts as an homage that represents the community's efforts to keep neon shining bright in Mesa. That story was Mesa Flips Switch on Neon Garden, where vintage signs reflect a vibrant past. The next story, Shopping Local Helps Economy, Apache Junction Businesses. Apache Junction, Gold Canyon, and Mesa businesses, including the Apache Junction Gold Canyon Independent Newspaper, are offering discounts this summer to holders of a Shop Local card sold by the Apache Junction Area Chamber of Commerce. The card, costing $2, valid only for May 1st to October 31st, 2025, is available 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday at the Chamber, 567 West Apache Trail. The list of where the cards can be used and discounts offered are at https://www.ajchamber.com/shop-local. Discounts range from 10% to 25%. There also are special discounts such as a free lunch with a tour of a facility or a free book from a church. The Chamber's Shop Local program began in May 2015 and was designed to stimulate local spending by creating an incentive for consumers to support local businesses and boost the economy during the slower summer months after the departure of winter visitors. When the program launched, non-member businesses were invited to participate for a fee. As the program has evolved, it has become an essential member benefit and is now open only to Chamber members to participate. The annual program's format has not changed for 2025, said Chamber President and CEO Mary Ann Pribilski. The Shop Local card does need to be purchased every year. There is a new card for each year, she said. The proceeds from the sale of the cards go toward the Chamber's scholarship program. Scott's Automotive of Apache Junction, 2085 West Apache Trail, is offering 10% off a service up to $150. It cannot be combined with other offers or coupons and excludes oil changes, tires, and brakes. Julie Larson, Chief Marketing Officer at Scott's Automotive and Tire Centers, Inc., said the business participates in the Shop Local program because it believes in investing in the communities that support it. The Chamber's Shop Local program is a great way to connect with our neighbors, support other small businesses, and show customers that when they shop local, they're keeping our town strong, she said. The program's biggest benefit is the sense of community it builds, Larson said. We've met new customers, networked with fellow business owners, and felt more connected to Apache Junction through the program. It's also a great way to remind people that local shops like ours offer not just quality service, but real, personal relationships, she said. Shopping local matters more than ever. With rising costs and economic uncertainty, small businesses are feeling the pressure, Larson said. Programs like this remind people that their choices have power. When you support a local business, you're helping real people, your neighbors, friends, and families, stay in business and keep local jobs alive, she said. One of the biggest challenges Scott's Automotive is facing is the ongoing shortage of skilled automotive technicians. Finding and retaining great talent in this industry is tough, especially when demand for quality service continues to grow. That's why we're committed to creating a workplace where technicians can build rewarding careers, because at the end of the day, our people are what sets us apart, Larson said. And that story was Shopping Local Helps Economy, Apache Junction Businesses. The next story, a hiker died in the Superstition Mountains. Everything we know about him and that day. More facts have emerged about the hiker who recently died in the Superstition Mountains and what transpired on the trail the man was on. So far, a name, location, and some of the circumstances around the incident have been revealed by officials from agencies that responded to the scene or who were investigating the hiker's untimely death on May 11. The Arizona Republic has found information through public records that helped paint a broader picture of the 33-year-old man who perished while out in the desert heat. As an investigation continues, here is everything we know about the hiker, how he died, and just how hot it was that fateful day. The man who died was Noah James Farabaugh. Public records show that as recently as January, Farabaugh was a resident of Niceville, a city in Florida's panhandle. He previously resided in Birmingham, Alabama, as well as North Carolina, and the U.S. territory of Guam, according to a public records search. Farabaugh was a licensed pilot and attended Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, which campus he was enrolled at was not immediately clear. Four other hikers with Farabaugh said they had been on the trail for about 6 hours, fire officials said. No foul play was suspected in Farabaugh's death, law enforcement said, but a medical examiner will be determining the cause of death. Farabaugh died on the Superstition Mountains Wave Cave trailhead in Gold Canyon, east of Mesa, according to authorities. Multiple rounds of CPR were performed on Farabaugh when medical personnel arrived, according to the Superstition Fire and Medical District. The other hikers were not injured, public safety officials said. They declined being taken to a hospital but were brought down the mountain with the use of a utility terrain vehicle. Temperatures for the day Farabaugh died were expected to reach up to 108 degrees in many areas of Metro Phoenix, the National Weather Service office in Phoenix warned. Temperature readings were 10 to 15 degrees higher than average for this time of year, the Weather Service noted. That story was, a hiker died in the Superstition Mountains, everything we know about him and that day. The next story, Superstition Mountain Museum, a 2025 Blue Star Museum. The Superstition Mountain Museum is participating in Blue Star Museums, a program that provides free admission to currently serving U.S. military personnel and their families during the summer. The 2025 program will begin on Armed Forces Day, Saturday, May 17, and end on Labor Day, Monday, September 1st. Learn more and find the list of participating museums at https://www.arts.gov/initiatives/blue-star-museums. Blue Star Museums is a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and Blue Star Families, in collaboration with the Department of Defense and participating museums across America. The National Endowment for the Arts is honored to help connect military service members and their families with their communities through the Blue Star Museums program, Mary Ann Carter, senior advisor for the National Endowment for the Arts, said in the release. Institutions like Superstition Mountain Lost Dutchman Museum offer opportunities for military members to create special memories and connect with our country's heritage and culture. For 15 years, Blue Star Museums has opened doors for military families to explore, connect, and feel at home in their communities, Kathy Roth-Duquette, CEO of Blue Star Families, said in the release. Thanks to our continued partnership with the National Endowment for the Arts and participating museums nationwide, we're proud to continue this tradition of belonging and enrichment. Museums are more than cultural spaces. They're places where military families feel seen, welcomed, and celebrated, she said. The Superstition Mountain Museum, 4087 East Apache Trail, State Route 88, in Apache Junction, offers indoor and outdoor fun for the whole family. Hike in the morning and visit the Memorial Summit. Venture through movie history at the Elvis Memorial Chapel and Apache Land, and wander through time in the museum, where families can learn about indigenous cultures, life of our early settlers, geology, desert animals, and of course, the Lost Dutchman. Go to https://superstitionmountainlostdutchmanmuseum.org. And that story was Superstition Mountain Museum, a 2025 Blue Star Museum. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, Avelo Airlines kicks off the first of its deportation flights from Mesa Airport. Avelo Airlines conducted its first deportation-related flight as part of the Trump administration's expanding mass deportation agenda. May 12 was the first day of the airline charter's contract to carry out deportation flights on three Boeing 737-800 aircraft from Mesa Phoenix Gateway Airport under a charter contract, according to USA Today. We realize this is a sensitive and complicated topic, Avelo's founder and CEO, Andrew Levy, previously said in a statement. After significant deliberations, we determined this charter flying will provide us with the stability to continue expanding our core scheduled passenger service and keep our more than 1,100 crew members employed for years to come. The decision by Avelo Airlines to participate in deportation flights came at a time when President Donald Trump's administration was arresting and detaining more immigrants from the interior of the U.S. as part of an expanding immigration crackdown that needs aircraft to move U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detainees from one state to another before they are ultimately deported. The airline has since advertised flight attendant positions to staff the deportation flights. This opportunity is for a charter program for the Department of Homeland Security. Flights will be both domestic and international trips to support DHS's deportation efforts, the company posted. Flight data showed Avelo Airlines Flight 48 departed from Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport at 8:15 a.m. and arrived at Alexandria International Airport in Alexandria, Louisiana at 12:28 p.m. CDT. The plane later departed from Alexandria and returned to Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport at 2:39 p.m. Arizona time. An airport spokesman said the plane was painted white rather than the Avelo branding the airline's planes are normally painted. Geo Group, a company that invests in private prisons and mental health facilities, listed a detention and removal staging facility located in Alexandria on its website. The facility has a capacity of 400 and is located on-site at Alexandria International Airport. It was not immediately clear how many people were on board the plane. ICE officials did not respond to requests for comment and additional details regarding the deportation flights as of May 12. That story was Avelo Airlines kicks off the first of its deportation flights from Mesa Airport. The next story, Apache Junction student Austin Sherman receives a $3,000 Passion to Help scholarship. The Desert Financial Foundation has awarded $198,000 in scholarships to 62 Arizona students, including one Apache Junction student. Austin Sherman, a senior at Apache Junction High School, received a $3,000 Passion to Help scholarship. He will attend Ottawa University in the fall to study exercise science and physical therapy. The students were selected for their commitment to volunteerism, determination to continue their education, and dedication to building better futures, according to a release. The scholarship program includes community service scholarships for high school seniors who volunteer in their communities, adult learner scholarships for adults ages 25 or older who are pursuing certificates or degrees, and Passion to Help scholarships for dependents of Desert Financial team members who give back to their communities through volunteerism. Nearly 200 Arizona students applied. Since launching the scholarship program in 2015, Desert Financial Foundation has awarded more than $1.7 million to deserving students who are furthering their education to build brighter futures. We believe education is a powerful tool for improving financial wellness, Jeff Meshey, Desert Financial Foundation Vice Chair, said in the release. These scholarships are just one way we invest in people who are working hard to better their lives, families, and communities. Each recipient was celebrated during the 2025 Desert Financial Foundation Scholarship Ceremony held at Chateau Lux in Phoenix on May 7, 2025. In addition to their scholarship award, students received a gift basket from Desert Financial filled with items to support their educational journey, including Sony headphones, a Hydro Flask water bottle, an Uber gift card, snacks, and school supplies. To learn about Desert Financial Foundation's scholarship programs, visit desertfinancial.com/scholarships. Founded in 2015, Desert Financial Foundation supports organizations and individuals in Arizona to strengthen financial capability through education and scholarships. To learn more about how Desert Financial Foundation gives back or to donate, visit desertfinancial.com/foundation. That story was Apache Junction student Austin Sherman receives a $3,000 Passion to Help scholarship. The next story, what's being built near the original end-of-the-line light rail station in Mesa? Location, Main Street and Dobson Road in Mesa. Description, a five-story, 191-unit luxury apartment complex is under construction called Ovio at Sycamore Station along Main Street and Dobson Road. City documents show the project is slated to add retail along the first floor that faces Main Street. Pride Ventures LLC purchased about 6.5 acres for $3.8 million, according to documents submitted to the Maricopa County Recorder's Office. The project broke ground in May 2023. The housing project is part of the larger planned development called Sycamore Station, which got its name from the light rail stop just south of the site. OVO at Sycamore Station was developed with the purpose of adding housing along the light rail to take advantage of public transit. It's also located within the city's Asian district and is within a walkable distance of the Korean grocery store H Mart. The site was previously a large, underutilized surface parking lot that served as the Metro Transit Station and parking area for the original end-of-the-line light rail station. Once the light rail was extended to Gilbert Road, that parking lot no longer had the same function. In 2016, the city began working on a redevelopment plan to replace the parking lot with a mix of retail and housing. According to a 2023 press release, the project is expected to finish construction in fall 2025. That story was what's being built near the original end-of-the-line light rail station in Mesa. The next story, plans for daytime lane restrictions on US 60 west of Miami, May 19-23. The Arizona Department of Transportation advises drivers to plan for the lane restrictions on US Highway 60, approximately 3 miles west of Miami, for roadway improvements. US 60 will be narrowed to one lane in each direction, with alternating east and westbound travel between mileposts 240 and 243 daily from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday, May 19 through Thursday, May 22, and from 5 a.m. to noon Friday, May 23. Flaggers and a pilot car will direct drivers through the work zone. An 11-foot vehicle width restriction will be in place until further notice. The speed limit will be reduced to 25 miles per hour in the work zone. Motorists should allow extra travel time, use caution, be prepared to slow down and merge safely when approaching and traveling through all work zones. This work is separate from the US 60 Queen Creek and Waterfall Canyon Bridges replacement project east of Superior. https://azdot.gov/projects/southeast-district-projects/queen-creek-and-waterfall-canyon-bridge-projects. That story was planned for daytime lane restrictions on US 60 west of Miami, May 19-23. The next story, way more Waymos. Company plans to more than double its fleet. Autonomous vehicle operator Waymo plans to more than double the size of its fleet over the next year by beginning manufacturing at its facility in Mesa. Waymo, the autonomous vehicle arm of Google parent company Alphabet, has about 1,500 Jaguar I-PACE vehicles on the road across four cities, with the lion's share of those vehicles in Metro Phoenix. Over the next year, it plans to add 2,000 more vehicles as the company expands its service to three new metros in 2026. The company is partnered with Magna International, an automotive supplier that announced plans to build a manufacturing facility in Mesa in 2024. There, pre-built Jaguars will get retrofitted with self-driving technology. The plant, located near Power and Pecos Roads, will be used to integrate the Waymo driver technology into the vehicle. According to a Waymo spokesperson, once the system has been validated, the Waymo vehicle can pick up passengers within 30 minutes of leaving the factory. At full capacity, the 239,000 square foot facility will be able to produce tens of thousands of vehicles per year. The Waymo Driver Integration Plant in Mesa is the epicenter of our future growth plans, Ryan McNamara, Vice President of Operations for Waymo, said in a statement. With our partners at Magna, we've opened a manufacturing site that enables the cost efficiency, flexibility, and capacity to scale our fleet to new heights. The Waymo driver technology that will be manufactured at the plant can be integrated into current and future platforms, including the existing I-PACE vehicles and the upcoming Zeekr vehicles. Unlike the Jaguar I-PACE vehicle that is already operating autonomously in Phoenix, the Zeekr will use the sixth-generation Waymo driver technology. The I-PACE uses the fifth-generation Waymo driver technology. According to Waymo, the sixth-generation technology was designed to operate in even harsher weather conditions without manual intervention, including freezing temperatures that might not have been encountered in cities where Waymo has rolled out its fully autonomous service. Waymo operates fully autonomous rides to the public in Phoenix, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Austin. Phoenix is Waymo's largest coverage area. The company operates across 315 square miles in the Phoenix metro. The area covers much of Phoenix, all of Tempe, most of Scottsdale, and portions of Mesa and Chandler. It will be bringing autonomous ride-hailing to Atlanta, Miami, and Washington, D.C. in 2026. That story was Way More Waymo's. Company plans to more than double its fleet. And our final story, Apache Junction Youth win aerial drone championship in high school division. The Superstition Mountain Branch Boys and Girls Club team from Apache Junction recently earned the championship award in the high school division at an aerial drone competition. The team excelled across multiple categories. Anna Prakash Ashton, co-founder of Education Empowers Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit in Chandler that hosted the event, said in a release. The team's coach, Angela Davis, the branch director for the Superstition Mountain Branch Boys and Girls Club, 2805 South Ironwood Drive in Apache Junction, said she was surprised when the team of Avery Romero and Brian Rivas-Garay won in the high school division. "I was surprised, but know we had very strong members on both our teams. The teams met every day for the last 3 weeks, just working on fine-tuning everything from the coding to teamwork, communication, and practicing the piloting, which just requires continuous practice," she said. That story was Apache Junction Youth win aerial drone championship in high school division. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can get our streaming service on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app, and you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo or smart home device. Stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.